Let's go to John 3:16. Title of this message is Living in the Revelation. Living in the Revelation. How many of you know before you can live in it, you have to know it exists? You have to know. See, one of the things, it was Mark Hankins said in the message, he said, information can be taken from you. Revelation cannot. Cannot. Information, someone could hack into your computer and delete your information. But your revelation about the information, they can't touch. They can't touch. And one of the problems that we have as believers is we have information. We have the word. We know what the word says. But we don't have revelation as to what it means. And you cannot build on information. You can build on revelation because revelation is the foundation. So, well, how can you say that? We're going to jump right to Matthew. I may go back to some other scriptures I have here, but we're going to go right to Matthew 16. And this is all he wants me to say. This is all I'm going to say. Okay. I'll start at verse 13. I'm going to share it at this moment in the King James Version. I'll probably share it a little bit in the Passion Translation. It said, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, who said? They. What does they mean? More than one? Right. So the group answered, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? Who answered? What happened to they? What happened to the rest of them? How come they didn't say anything? They're standing around, I didn't think you'd ask me that question. What do you think? I don't know. I don't know. What is it? And Peter is probably by himself saying, God, who is this really God? Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to this. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. Flesh and blood didn't give you that revelation. But my Father, which is in heaven, and I say also to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? Upon this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church.
Hallelujah.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail
Amen.
Against it.
Amen.
Peter got it.
Glory.
And Jesus confirmed it. But Peter had to be seeking the understanding in order for it to get to him. And Jesus said something very interesting. On this revelation, we can build. When you look at your life and you see all the things that are going on, things seem shaky, what revelation is it on what you're building? Or are you just building it on information? You say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's right. That's what the word says. What does it mean? What does that mean? Can you build on that? Because if you can't build on it, it's because the revelation didn't hit you yet. Why didn't the revelation hit me? You probably are not seeking it. You're satisfied with the information. I get in trouble because I'm not satisfied with just information. I need understanding. That's why I look at principles. Principles give me understanding, because the principles let me know that this works no matter what you do. Is 2 + 2 ever going to be anything other than 4? No. But you have to understand that principle, because that principle applies to a lot of things, not just 2 + 2. Okay. You have to understand the principles. In order to do that, you have to get the revelation. The Passion Translation, starting with verse 15, I'll start with verse 15, Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." Jesus replied, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I'll build my church." So the church was built on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. The problem we're having in the church is that too many members of the church haven't gotten that revelation. So how can you say that? Think back 24, 48 hours. Think about what you did. And if you really understood that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God, would you have still done it? Would you have still said it? Would you have still allowed that thought to come? You know. Because when we understand, when we get the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, it should show in how we conduct ourselves. Hallelujah. It should check us when we're about to step somewhere where we shouldn't. And if we step over there and someone corrects us, we should receive it. Because we have the revelation. Jesus is the Christ. Next Sunday, on September 2nd, week from Sunday, we're going to have a back-to-school day. And the message and everything will center around our children going back to school and building them up. But it's all going to be based on them grabbing hold of the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Because that revelation will take you through life. Because if you don't get that revelation that Jesus is the Christ, then everything that Jesus said won't mean a thing. Because if you don't understand that he's the Christ, he's the Son of the Living God, you are part of the church that was established on that revelation. And he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if you're a member of the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Amen. But you got to get that revelation so you know who you are. And nobody can take away that away from you. I know it doesn't matter what anyone says about you. You know who you are. You got the revelation. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. God doesn't care what you did 20, 30, 40 years ago. He doesn't care what you did 5 seconds ago. What are you doing now? That's what he cares about. You did something. He forgave you. Let it go. Move forward. Yes. Doesn't matter how fast you move forward. Just keep moving forward. Hallelujah. But you can't keep moving forward if you don't know who you are, and you won't know who you are unless you get the revelation as to who Christ is. Amen. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Uh-huh. What does that mean? I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What's available to you? What does that do for you? How does that change your life? What's the benefit of all of this? Well, you got to know who Jesus is first. When the entire, I love this biblical account. The entire nation of Israel had information that they were in covenant with God. the entire nation. And they were just wiping out enemy after enemy after enemy. Then they approach the Philistines. And they have a champion, Goliath. 10 foot tall, spear, however tall that was. Very imposing figure. And the entire nation of Israel, their high priests, every member of their military, and Saul, their king, the one I used to sing about. They get ready, and they're pumping themselves up. Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to kill these Philistines. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember, the Lord is with us. Yeah, yeah. And Goliath steps out and challenges them, and they all run away. Little shepherd boy, teenager. A teenager. How many teenagers in here? Raise your hand. A teenager heard what Goliath said and went and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that thinks he could come against the armies of God?" He was probably wondering, "Why are you guys afraid of him?" He said, he went to the king. The king said, "No, you can't go up against them. You're just a boy." He's like, "Excuse me. This boy killed a lion, and this boy killed a bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be one like one of them. Because the same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this turkey also." See? He had the revelation as to what his covenant meant. And he wasn't intimidated by someone almost three times his size. Because the Bible says he was a young man and ruddy, which means he was very handsome. Ladies, he was good to look at. Okay. And usually guys like that can't fight. Okay. They're lovers, they're not fighters. Okay. And Goliath mocked them coming out there. So, "Am I a dog? You come at me with sticks?" I said, "Yep." "I'm about to beat you like a dog." Okay. But David wasn't impressed by Goliath's armor because he had a revelation that he was in covenant with God. It's no different than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Teenagers, the adults acting like nuts, afraid, filled with information, no revelation. And so the king says, "When I play my music, you dance." They're like, "Okay." "Yeah, okay. Whatever you say, king." Because he said, "If you don't dance, you get thrown into my fiery furnace." That information about I'm in covenant with God went right out the door. The minute they heard, "You'll go in the furnace," their information took wings and said, "You're going in there by yourself because I'm not getting burned up." So again, you have the entire nation, all the leaders of the nation, all the high priests of the nation, even though they had information that God said, "You will worship no other God but me," when Nebuchadnezzar played that music, they bowed down and worshiped. Why? No revelation that they were in covenant. None. But those three teenage boys said, "We're not bowing down." And they got ratted out by their friends. "O king, didn't you put these men over these provinces?" "Yeah, well, they don't bow down. And they won't worship your statue, your image." And the king called them. "What's up with that? How come you guys aren't bowing down?" He said, "I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to play my music, and if you bow down, cool, good. But if you don't, you will be thrown into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is that God that can deliver you out of my hands?" When I read their response, it astounded me. I loved it. They said, King, we don't even have to think about this. Our God will deliver us.
Yeah. Yes.
I like the Message Bible. It said, our God will deliver us from your fiery furnace and anything else you can cook up. They said, but be it known, O King, that even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not bowing down. And the king played the music. And they didn't bow down. And he threw them in the furnace. He heated the furnace 7 times hotter than it was designed to be heated. So hot, it incinerated the people that threw them in immediately. Me, and I say this every time I talk about this account, because it just amazes me. They tie them up. Two guards bring them to the front of the furnace. They open the furnace door. They throw them in, and they're immediately incinerated. Immediately, they're toast. But Shadrach's in the furnace. You're the second set of guards. Okay. And you're so terrified of this king that you commit suicide. Because you step up there, because when you throw your prisoner in, you get burned up also. I'm telling you that to let you know how tyrannical this king was and how everybody was in such fear, great fear of this person. But these 3 teenage boys had a revelation that they were in covenant with God. And that covenant outweighed anything that king could come up with. We got to get that revelation. And stop running around afraid and in anguish, and terrified, and think we don't know what to do and all these things, when all we need to do is get the revelation as to who we are and what we have.
That's right.
And it changed the entire outlook of that kingdom. Because the king looked back in and said, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4. Didn't we throw 3 men into the furnace? Said, I see 4. And one looks like the Son of God. And the king made a decree. Anybody that goes against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be thrown in the furnace. He said, because no God can save like that. Guess what? The king got a revelation before the people.
Okay.
The king looked at it and said, whoa, not touching this. He's the one that made that song. He said it first, can't touch this. No, I can't touch this. We need to understand. We need to get the revelation as to who we are and what we have so we can act on it. Because if we don't know, we'll keep doing the same thing. It does not matter what laws are passed. It doesn't matter. I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the church. I've been given power. I've been given physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. So I can never, ever use the excuse, the devil made me do it. I can never use the excuse, the enemy, he's just clouding my head with so much stuff. I don't know what to do. I can't think clearly. I've been given physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses, period.
Amen. That's right.
I have to understand that. I need that revelation. Then I know. I have an unction from the Holy Ghost. I know all things.
Yes.
That's what I operate under.
Amen.
But you can't do that unless you've gotten the revelation, folks. You need to get... And you have to seek it. See, the Bible says, and are you still in Matthew? I think we're going to move up to Matthew 13. I'll show you what happens. Not move up, move back. Verse 19, King James Version. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, that means if anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't get the revelation, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed where?
By the wayside.
By the wayside. This is he who received seed, Minister Joe, when he was having a casual relationship.
That's right. That's right.
He was, you're not all in. You're not on the main road. You're off to the side. The word is playing. You're hearing a word of the kingdom, and you're still texting your friends. You're hearing the word from the kingdom. You're still playing video games. Hearing the word from the kingdom, we're still watching television programs. We're hearing the word from the wayside. I used to think you could do two things at the same time and do them both well. My wife shared some information from research that was done. It's been proven you can't. You can't. And I didn't believe that. And being a knucklehead, I had to prove it. You try doing things and you forget. What was I doing? How many of you ever felt you were doing too much? Well, if you're doing more than one thing at a time, you're doing too much. Okay. But it said they received it by the wayside. And because they were on the wayside, they were on the outside looking in, they didn't get the revelation. So the enemy comes and not only takes that word that was just said, but takes away everything else you were thinking about or knew about. Why? Because do you actually think you're going to leave the vault to all your precious possessions open and the thief is going to come in and just take one thing? He's going to take that last, someone just gave you this iPad mini. And it's in there among your jewelry and everything else, all your cash, and you leave it wide open, they're going to just take it and just run away and leave everything else. No, they're going to scoop everything out. That's why I said it's going to take away that which was sown in your hearts. Because if it could take away, think about it. If you can take away any part of the revelation, then none of it is true. Because if all of it is true, the enemy can't get it. So he just wants to get a little piece. That's all he needs. Because then that inserts doubt. Maybe is a dangerous word for a believer. Because we say, maybe God didn't mean. Maybe that's not what the word said. Because after all, why is this still happening? When you have the revelation, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you don't care how long it takes because God's going to provide it. How many of you on the last Thursday in November and the aroma of that meal fills the house? Turkey's only been in the oven for an hour. You can't take it anymore. You run in and you grab it and you start eating it. No, you're willing to wait because you know it's coming. Okay. You need to see all of God's promises like Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. It's all going to be good. And it's all coming. And at the right time, it will be presented. For your enjoyment. At the right time. Okay. Folks, we got to get the revelation.
Yes.
We have to.
Yes.
Our success as believers, our ability to do all the things God wants us to do, depends on our grabbing hold of the revelation that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that we are indeed children of the Most High God, that we are made in His image and after His likeness, period. We have to know that. We have to understand that. We need to we have to get the revelation that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Cannot.
Promise.
We have to get the revelation that we are more than a conqueror.
Yes.
More than a conqueror. I use a natural example about that. See, being a conqueror, you play a basketball game, And you win by 3-4 points. More than a conqueror. Second best team in the league because you're the best. Okay. And you beat them by 80 points. Just because. just to make a point. Okay. That's right. Just to make a point. You let them know. So if there's any thought of coming up against you again, you want their minds to be defeated before they ever step on the court.
Amen.
Because you're more than a conqueror.
Thank God.
Period.
Thank God.
You not only defeat the adversary, you defeat where he came from.
That's right.
And you send a message, don't send anybody else from that area at me again. Next time it may be worse.
Hallelujah.
I'm more than a conqueror. When you understand that you're a child of God, when you get that revelation that He's your Father, you don't have to beg Him for anything.
Yes.
Oh, he said in His Word, ask of me and I will give you the desire of your heart. What did He say? Ask. All you have to do is ask. And after you ask, if you believe He's done it, then you start saying, thank you. He's your Father. Jesus asked the question. He said, any of you being a good father, if your child asked for food, would you give him a rock? The answer is, of course not. What would you give him? Food. Why? It's your child. You're his parent. You're going to give him a good gift. He doesn't have to come and say, please, I'm hungry, mommy, please, give me some food. Oh. Mom, I'm hungry. There's some food in the refrigerator, go get it. Look at, we tell our grandchildren when they come over, they say, go to the refrigerator, can I get some water? Just go in the fridge, get it. Get it, you have to just get it. What? They're our grandchildren. They're our children. Period. They don't have to beg us for food. They ask. We may have to beg them not to eat it all.
You know?
But they have the revelation that we, their grandparents, or their parents, and we have the revelation they are our children or our grandchildren. And our relationship is such. It's based on the revelation that we have children and grandchildren. Period. And whatever they have, so yes, our grandchildren can come here and they can go in and out of the off the speaker's lounge. Why? Because their grandparents have access. So they have access. They love coming to church. We can go in your office? Yes. Come in my office. They have that revelation. We need to get that revelation that Jesus is the Christ, that God is our Father, that we are His children. And then we can build our lives on that revelation. And you need to understand something else. Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood did not give you this revelation. We need to understand that we have to stop going to flesh looking for answers. Flesh and blood will never tell you anything about the Spirit. Never. And I can prove it by the Word. Look at Galatians 5. See, you don't ask the flesh about spiritual things. Galatians 5, this is the New International Version. I'm going to start at verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. So the flesh is never going to want something that's in line with God's Word. So why would you go to someone that's going to not be in line with God's Word and ask them for information about God's Word? No. As a matter of fact, God's Word, because it says, the Spirit, it says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. It means what the Spirit wants you to do will always be in opposition to what your flesh wants. They're in conflict with each other so that you're not to do whatever you want. You're going to yield to one of them. You're either going to yield to the pressure from the flesh or the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you need to revelation as to the difference. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You need revelation as to what that means. Why? So you stop following the wrong voice. How do you know? I just gave you a clue. If it's the flesh, it's going to lead you to do something or say something that's contrary to what God says. It's never going to tell you to get in agreement with God. It's always going to want you to be in opposition. Because when you get in opposition, you know where you find yourself? On the wayside. And anything that's shared with you while you're on the wayside, you're not going to get it. And you just wind up digging a deeper hole for yourself. So how do we get this revelation? Just like God said, how much more would he give the Holy Spirit to anyone who would ask? All you have to do is ask God. God, I'm reading your word. What does this mean? What does this mean to me? What are we really saying here? And you have to do some work on your own. To me, I go to BibleGateway.com usually as a first stop, and I look at the scripture and I read every single translation it has. It's not a quick process. Sometimes I have to read it more than once. And I may read all of those translations in Bible Gateway and still not get the revelation. But I refuse to leave from in front of my computer, our computer, until I've gotten the revelation. I don't care what time of the morning it is. I'm going to stay there until I get it. Period. I was sharing that with someone. I said, see, now I'm giving you one of my study secrets. I just gave it to all of you. And I don't just stop with translations. I'll read commentaries about it. One of my favorite sources is Pastor Rick Renner. I'll read what he said, even if he has three or four passages on it, and I'll look in both of his books. And I'll read everything that he said about it. And then something will go, bing! I'm like, that's what that means. Okay. Now look at the clock. 20 minutes to 4. All right. But you have to take the time to get the revelation you need about who you are in Christ, about what's available to you as believers. Because once you get that revelation, that becomes your bedrock foundation. And then you can build on it. So I don't need a revelation to build. No, you don't. But if you want it to withstand no matter what circumstances come, you better get one. You can build a house on sand. The Bible tells us that. But he also uses an adjective to describe one who would build a house on sand. He says it's foolish. And to get to the foundation, you have to dig deep. Which means it's not going to happen quickly. It's going to take time. And depending on how high you want to go will dictate how deep you need to dig. Because the higher the building, the deeper the foundation. I mean, that's just the way it is. God has a calling on every single life in here. Every single one. What is it? I'm not God. He will reveal it to you at the right time. What am I supposed to be doing in the meantime? Gaining all the revelation that you can as to who you are in Christ. Period. What's available to you as a Christian? The power and authority that you have as a believer. You get that revelation. And then whatever the call is, when it comes, you're ready. Period. And you don't care where it is, where you have to go, what you have to do, because you got the revelation. And you know, since it's God who called you, it's God who has to equip you. Because he said he would supply all your need. So you can do everything without fear. Everything. Even if it's a medical issue. He didn't say you can do all things through Christ except overcome a horrible disease. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, God didn't say in the Psalms, I sent my word and healed you except if you were diagnosed with cancer. He didn't say that. Now, that doesn't mean you get a report and the report says that they see a tumor inside your body that's malignant. Oh, God will take care of it. And next thing you know, we're going to your memorial service. And a lot of people's faith is damaged because, but we believe God. No, you go to God and you find out from God, okay, God, what do I need to do about this situation? And he'll give you a revelation as to what you should do. When they told me that I had prostate cancer, I said, God, what are we going to do about what they said? And I told him, I said, because if you tell me to go to Hudson River and eat 3 raw crabs, that's what I'm going to do. I did. And I have fun with God. I say, I may glow in the dark, but I won't have that. The cancer will be gone. You know. And he directed me to a surgeon. Okay. I'm not going to go to, God says go to this person, I'm going to say, no, I want you to do it divinely. Yeah, I could do that, and then I'll be talking to him face to face before I was supposed to. You got to get the revelation, folks. Whatever God tells you to do is what's right. How do you know? He wouldn't tell you. God doesn't play those. He doesn't say, Jesus, watch this one. And he's just going to tell you something contrary for his, just because he wants to laugh. He doesn't do that. He needs us to be healthy. He needs us to be wealthy. He needs us to have it all together. Why? Because we represent him. Yes. And you tell someone, I'm a born-again believer. God is my father. He takes good care of me. And you're homeless. You're sickly. No, God doesn't need you in that state. What he said in his word, I don't have the scripture in my remembrance, but he said the people will give God glory when they see him come to rescue you. The people, the heathens,
yes,
those that don't know God, will give glory to God because they know you're a believer and they know you're going through something and they see you come out of it and they know the only way you could come out of it is because God did it.
Amen.
They're going to give God glory for that.
Yes, they will. Yes.
They will. But we have to get that revelation, because when we get that revelation, we become patient. We're willing to wait because we know it's coming. And we don't have to know when. See, when you don't believe, you need to know when. You need signs. God, give me a sign. I need to know that that this is you. Well, do you usually listen to the devil? Say, no, I don't listen. Well, you're hearing my voice. That's all the proof you need. Pastor Clinton wrote a song, "Faith is all the evidence you need." So once you have the revelation, then you need to believe the revelation. That's where your faith comes in. And you act on that which you have received. It's that simple, folks. We have to learn how to start living in the revelation and stop living in fear, in anguish, in sickness and poverty and all those other things. See, you need to understand something. We're a New Testament church. And there are some curses in the Old Testament. And we said, no, the Bible says I'm redeemed from the curse. No, it says you're redeemed from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? The wages of sin is death. Jesus redeemed us from that.
Thank you, Lord.
But if you don't exercise your authority, if you don't get the revelation as to who you are, your life will feel like you haven't been redeemed. It doesn't make any sense to go through something you've already been delivered from. Doesn't make any sense. So you have to get the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. You need to understand that you can steal information, but you can't steal revelation. You cannot, no matter how hard it tries. And in the meantime, you have the mindset that it talks about in Philippians 3, verse 7 to 11 in the Passion Translation. The Apostle Paul told the people of Philippi, "Yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord." To truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boastings on a garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. My passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness based on keeping the written law. My righteousness will be his based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings, and I will be one with him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. We never stop seeking Josh, cue up. You'll take care of me, please. Because when you have the revelation, you know no matter what comes, God will take care of you. Period.
Yes.
Actually, you could put an exclamation point there. God will take care of you. I was probably, I got saved in October. Got saved the end of, I was probably about 2 weeks old as a Christian. I wasn't even an infant yet. I was a newbie. Okay, I was a newborn. And I was working for a company, Bojangles, as a matter of fact. I had 5 restaurants. But I became a Christian while I was working for them, so I was no longer one of the guys. I was no longer hanging out and doing stuff. And, you know, now I never convicted them, but then they felt convicted now when I'd show up. It's like, oh, here's Reverend coming now. That didn't bother me. My dad had been calling me that for years, so it didn't bother me. But it bothered them. So they got together, and they came up with a new position. Your restaurants run so great, especially at night, but we have other restaurants that don't do as well as night. So, you know, we it's a lateral move right now, but we have a pilot program where we're calling it Supervisor of Night Operations, and we think you should take that so you get all of our restaurants operate the way yours are doing in the evening. Company man, okay, that's fine with me. About 2 weeks later, on my birthday, they give you your birthday off. I get a phone call. I thought they were going to say happy birthday. They said, we've decided to eliminate that program. I'm like, oh, okay. So want me to report back to my old area? No. Oh, what do you want me to report? Well, we've eliminated the program. I know you told me that. Well, that means everyone associated with the program is also eliminated. I was the only one associated with the program. So I find myself unemployed. It's November. I want to get married in May. I'm unemployed. I don't know. I'm like, this is my reward for giving my life to Christ? I'm like, they'd have never done this to Foots. Never. And if they did, half their restaurants would have been burned down. Because I had peoples that I knew. But I heard this song. And part of the lyrics is, I have no doubt that you'll supply my need. And on your loving kindness, I will feed. So I will always offer praise to thee, because I have assurance that you'll take care of me. I'm on my knees in my apartment, tears streaming down my face, singing that song. And you promised me. I'm crying. You promised me. That's why I'm friends. You know, I mean, that's. But I kept singing those. This has got to be true. It's got to be true. I know this is true. We're coming through this. While I'm singing that song. And my whole attitude about it changed. I needed food. God sent me bent cans of Chef Boyardee products. I didn't complain that they were bent cans. I didn't complain that they were cans. I didn't complain that it was Chef Boyardee, which I'd never really eaten before. All I knew it was food. That he provided. And I'm like, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're doing what your word is. You're taking care of me. And I put the song on again and sing it again. You know, I mean, that's what you do. So when did you stop doing that? When situations changed. I kept doing it because I didn't want anything to cause me to think differently. And if I took my mind off of it and on what I was going through, I would have started thinking that I would have gone to the wayside. I wanted to stay right on the inside.